back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miran.
This is Jeff Ellis. It's Thursday, January 17th, 2013.
Episode 8.49, the Championship Preview Show.
Can you feel it?
I'm a little nervous.
You're nervous?
I'm a little scared.
Why are you scared?
Well, that's part of the show. Well, you know, I got.
You're teasing.
I'm teasing. There's a little nervousness in
me. We've got a lot to talk about. We got so much NFL news. We could do an entire NFL news show.
I'm gonna make my picks, but my picks aren't necessarily the team I want to cheer for.
That happens all the time.
Don't like it.
See, unlike you, who chooses the Dallas Cowboys and roots for them every week, I pick against the Cowboys sometimes. Yes. And sometimes if they're playing a team I don't
like, I'll root for them. You don't have a team that you like.
I really don't.
You haven't ever since we've done this show.
No,
and
I haven't.
You have shown that even when you jump on the bandwagon of a team, for example, this year Carolina.
Is that what I
You picked? Took them once. Once all year, I think. You took the Panthers to win.
It was the ones
against Dallas, and you lost it. So you never got a Carolina pick right.
I think I got a Panthers pick right this season.
Maybe one.
Yeah, maybe one. But they only won 5-6 games, so I'm not sure that's that big a deal.
Too much credit. I don't even know they won that many.
I think they won 5. So anyways, welcome to the show, people. We hope you enjoy it. We have got a full show. In fact, I got to start the clock here. Otherwise, we will go on forever. And we're going to get you all set up for game day on Sunday.
How the hell did Carolina win 7 games this year?
I was thinking 7, but you were so confident that they didn't win 5 that I had to dial it back.
I didn't even remember what 7 games
seven
they
and
won.
Nine. They got a lot better come the end of the season.
Is that what
they
it
started,
was?
Yes, they started playing very well, which I think is one of the reasons, Steven, that you have Ron Rivera there with his job. Okay, he kept his job, I believe, because they were turning it around. And this is Cam Newton 2.0.
They ended
Don't get
the
me started.
With
four-game winning streak.
Straight wins.
Look at this. I'm talking off the top of my head here, Steven.
Atlanta, San Diego, Oakland, and they even managed to beat the Saints in the final week of the season.
No easy outs there. Was Oakland at home?
Oakland was
in Oakland, if I'm not mistaken.
It was at home.
Okay,
it
was so that was an easy out. Yeah. But really, 3 of the last 4 were reasonably difficult games.
But they beat Philadelphia, and then they lost to Kansas City.
Now, look, a lot of people lost to Kansas City this year.
Nobody lost to Kansas City.
Look, in the sense of Kansas City played a few teams surprisingly well.
Kansas City won 2 games.
But if you go back and look at the results, they played a couple of good teams very close. And it was like, well, this is Kansas City.
You know what?
That was the
Javon Belcher weekend. That's when they beat Kansas City.
And I can't believe I didn't change my pick.
Yeah.
On that one. In fact, I may have changed my pick on that one, too, Kansas City.
Yeah, you wound up losing. No. You went off of Kansas City.
Oh, because, oh, Lord. That ended up being the challenge. Yeah, I don't want to talk about that at all.
I think that's why you've struck in it.
Boys and girls, we are just in 2 weeks. Steven and I will be in New Orleans and pretty damn tired.
Jeffrey, do you realize that if we have the same games picked this weekend and there is no challenge game, that the Super Bowl could possibly decide the winner or loser of the challenge?
We don't usually disagree on the Super Bowl outcome.
I know. So if there is no this week,
there will be.
You're confident of that.
I'm confident in taking picks.
You're picking your Super Bowl that you went with. You are riding with the teams. You know what? Let's chomp it in.
Chomp.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
You mean you've never heard the expression, let's chomp it in?
No.
Chomp it in.
You've established that I have no cred.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Okay, it's funny.
Therefore,
a few episodes ago, you said, I'm a Cracker Jack. And I
said that?
Yes, you did.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either.
I think you're mistaken.
No, we were talking about Cracker Jacks, I think the food.
The candy.
The caramel corn.
The snack.
Snacky.
Bad for you.
And you said, I'm a Cracker Jack. And so
I would say you're a Cracker
Jack. My people are currently editing that out so that it just says, I'm a cracker.
Nice.
And I'm going to, whenever you allude to not having street cred. I'm just going to play you in your own voice saying, I'm a cracker.
I'm a cracker. I am a cracker.
Well, that was, you know what? You know who gave me that? I can't take credit for that.
How do I know this? I don't know how I know this, but I know this.
Ed Franks was listening. He's like, you totally need to take Cracker and Jack out of there and just say, I'm a cracker. And just,
let's put it this way. Penn State's own Ed Franks.
That's right.
Oh,
he is now with the.
Cool
he's now Nittany Lion.
Yeah, he says he's never lived in a what is it he living in?
I don't know.
It's the type of neighborhood that he's in. He put up
it
was like a commonwealth.
No,
a commonwealth. It's like I've never lived in a commonwealth.
Really?
It's if you think about it, it's ultimately socialist because commonwealth. You know, we all share the wealth. We all share everything we have. It's communist.
I see.
It's a communist. What are you going to do?
Where is Penn State?
You know, it's in Happy Valley, Pennsylvania.
Happy Valley.
You know that from the whole Sandusky affair.
Yeah, no, I know. But I think, wasn't he referring to Happy Valley?
No.
I think.
I don't know. Let's move on with the show. We gave him way too much love last time.
We did. Well, we're giving him
some
more.
Way too much love last time.
All right, but Jeffrey, I got to, now that we've established that you're a cracker. Chomp it in. Let's chomp it in right now. That means you're getting ready to start something. You're starting the time. You're chomping in the clock.
Let's get to work.
Let's get to work. Let's chomp
it in. Let's hit it.
Yes.
Okay.
So let's hit it. We got two picks. We don't have a lot of time today. We've already gone 5 minutes too long.
5 minutes too long?
Yeah, I know.
5 minutes too long? Really? We have a lot of NFL news, Steven.
Yeah. Is that what we're going to start today?
Well, that's kind of...
I don't want to start with NFL news.
It's our DNA to start with the NFL news.
Well,
let's say
that all head coaches have been hired save one. Can you name that one team that is without a head coach yet?
I can. It's pretty simple because I keep wondering what the hell they're going to do.
Yes.
And that would be the Arizona Cardinals.
The Arizona Cardinals.
Now, I've heard that Ken Wisenhunt's interviewing there, and it's going well.
Ken Wisenhunt has a job. He was just hired
as
the... It was
a good joke, Steven. You needed to go with the joke instead of correcting me with facts about current events.
Well, this just happened.
I'm saying this is how bad.
I don't even know if you know.
He's the offensive coordinator for... I'm not looking down at
San
the screen.
San Diego Chargers.
Okay.
There you go.
I don't remember their head coach's name yet. I haven't committed that to memory yet.
Yes, because...
More, I want to say, but I'm not sure. But what we've got here, so, first of all, from the what department?
It's Mike McCoy, by the way.
I was on the Moore McCoy. Moore, it's
McCoy,
an M thing.
Yeah.
Chip Kelly is in Philadelphia.
Chip Kelly!
From the what department?
This is what happened. So he comes to Philadelphia. I don't know. I got to go back to Oregon. I don't think I want to.
I'm not a pro guy. I'm a college guy.
And then he goes back, and apparently he met with some recruits, Jeffrey,
State recruits?
No, Oregon.
Oregon recruits.
Yeah, recruits.
So his incoming class.
As early as 3 days ago, Jeff. One of the recruits has come out and said he did what? Because
he
was just in my house 2 days ago.
Had he signed his letter of intent?
I don't know that yet.
I would hope. First, let me say this. If there's any players that signed their letter of intent recently,
yes,
they should be allowed a special exemption by the NCAA to move on because
yes.
That's not fair. You go to play for a guy.
I think, well...
You go to a program.
And you got to remember, a letter of intent is just that. It is a letter saying, I intend to go there. It's not... You chomping it in stone that's where you go. There's a lot of
chomping nonsense.
There's a lot of kids who, you know, give letters of intent that don't wind up going to that university. They go somewhere else. So just because
you have flexibility when you sign a letter of intent?
It's once you actually are at this university.
I'm not sure about that because
a letter of intent does not commit you to a school.
I'm closer to high school students signing letters of intent.
Yes.
And generally, you can't have two of them.
No.
So if you're going to go somewhere else, you have to sign another, and you have to like go through the NCAA to unsign one.
You sign a letter of intent, say, with Oregon, and then as the...
They kind of own you at that point.
As the school gets closer, you and your parents, you know what, I really want
to
stay in L.A.
You have to unsign that letter of intent, though. You can't go somewhere else.
But it's not like the NCAA at that point. You're not in school yet. You're not a part of the NCAA yet.
You are part of the NCAA when you're playing high school athletics, Stephen. They care about what goes on at, say, the CIF level to make sure that you're not breaking any rules.
Yes, you're not getting hand-me-downs
and there's no visits coming from coaches. coaches and things, and you're not talking to agents.
But just because you signed the letter does not mean you are that school's property.
See, I know this because I had to work with my son on making sure, and he wasn't that good.
Right.
But making sure that he wasn't violating any NCAA rules.
Yes.
They had to do that
at
his high school.
Yes.
If you're worth anything as an athlete, you darn well better make sure that you're staying in good stead
that
with the
you
NCAA.
You are following the P's and Q's.
Exactly.
Yes. But no, a letter of intent is just that. You're just saying, my intention is to come to your university. My intentions may change, and that's just like Chip Kelly. My intention was not to coach at Philadelphia.
And I went after 10 days, met with kids in their homes, recruiting them.
Yes.
And then a few days later, said, well, I'm not real crazy, but these guys can't win.
We don't know what happened. Philadelphia might have swung the pot. Maybe they can. You know, Philadelphia, we were just 2 days ago, we were laughing at how nobody wanted the job.
Nobody
maybe they were
the
making it so unattractive.
Maybe, on your train of thought, Stephen, maybe the job was so unattractive and they were hitting the panic button and they decided we better add a couple years and a couple million dollars
some
to
money,
this.
And they swing the deal and they come back and they said,
we'll give you a little bit more control.
With Gus Bradley of the Seattle Seahawks,
and
we like him, but he's
nobody
not you.
Us.
And so, Chip, we're going to give you X, we're going to give you Y, we're going to give you Z, and we'll even throw in a double A, all right?
Wow.
And then he's like, I think I'm going to
Philadelphia. Double A kind of pushed me over the edge.
You know, and so he's like, well, you know, and so, and yes, he's now the Philadelphia Eagles head coach.
Congratulations to one of the giant fakers out there in the NFL, and I hope. Look, for Eagles Nation, I hope that they're.
I hope it comes crumbling down.
I know you do, Steven. I actually wish them well, and I hope they have. What do I have to dislike about the Eagles?
I don't know.
I like their fans. I like their uniforms.
Yes.
I like their mascot. I like their song.
Yeah.
I like Philadelphia. I think it's a good city.
I'm a little concerned to see if his offense will translate to the pro game.
It's going to be – I would strongly recommend – and we have a few situations here as we go through the news. But I would strongly recommend that he have an offense guy with him to really – one of the things is as I was driving in, Steve and I had lunch today, and then we were driving to the Cave separately. And in my vehicle, I always have SiriusXM NFL radio on. And I'm listening to Pat Kerwin just talk about the evolution of the game. And where a pocket passer, a drop-back passer, is what wins you Super Bowls up until now.
Yeah.
But we are on the cusp of seeing that change. College coaches do not make good NFL coaches.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing that change. Okay, so all the things that we thought we knew, and he insists that general managers and presidents and things each have their own pictured DNA of what a Super Bowl winning franchise looks like, and they try and get their team as closely aligned with that as possible. Now, what have the San Francisco 49ers gone and done? They got a college coach, never coached in the NFL. They got anything but a pocket passer,
right.
And they're on the verge of the Super Bowl.
But
so
he is.
They're challenging. His point is that things change over time,
yeah, but
and
it's
we're
not
in a
like
season of transition.
You also, your guys got to be able to throw from the pocket. Let's not kid ourselves.
It's not like Colin Kaepernick can't throw from the pocket.
And it's
he
not
can
like RG3, and it's not like Russell Wilson. These
Cam
guys can
Newton.
All throw
They've got
from the
cannons.
They got, yes. So it's great that you have a guy who can get on the outside and run
right.
and use
and
his legs.
Place.
But he's got to be able to make the throws.
But historically, that has been something that we actually
that
don't
was
want.
Frowned
we
upon.
Don't want.
Yes.
And he's pointing out that the DNA is changing.
It is.
And he thinks that this is a time of great consternation amongst executives in the league as they try and redesign their DNA for what a successful Super Bowl organization is going to look like. We've got great teams this week to talk about that with the New England Patriots that are traditional. And he puts the Atlanta Falcons in one of those teams that is a transition. Mike Smith was a brand new hire as a head coach. And a lot of people had questions about Mike Smith. His first interview was lousy. His second interview was better. And they're like, this is a horrible hire. I'm sorry. He's done extremely well with this team.
Yeah.
And Alex Smith is not a pure pocket passer. Not Alex Smith. I'm sorry. The quarterback, Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's not a pure pocket passer. So, again, he is more, but he's not pure. Joe Flacco is not a pure pocket passer. both these guys will run for first downs.
I would disagree with that. They run when because they have to.
When the play is broken down.
It is their final method.
That is their final route.
You don't design plays for them to run. Correct.
But they can. And that is something that has generally been frowned upon by successful, the perfect blueprint for how you build a championship.
You know, Aaron Rodgers, what he said as recently as yesterday, I believe.
Did I wish I was playing this
that
weekend?
The pistol read option offense will go the way of the Wildcat in a few years.
Well, and that is the million-dollar question, and that was Pat's question, is are we seeing something that's a blip on the radar, or are we seeing a transition in Chip Kelly, coming back full circle, Chip Kelly's offensive scheme that he brings into Philadelphia? He better have a lot of – and look, Chip Kelly's going to bust his tail. The guy runs great organizations.
I understand, but here's
– but will it translate to the NFL was your question, Stephen, and I say that's a great question.
Yeah.
And one that we will see.
And I think Aaron Rodgers points a point.
I disagree with Aaron Rodgers.
You know what, Jeffrey? If next season, all of these defensive coordinators sit down this offseason and all they do is look at Kaepernick and the Niners,
yes,
RG3 and the Redskins, and those are really the two teams that are purely running
this.
How
about Russell Wilson?
But
he's not running the pistol as often. Right.
But if they take these two guys who were very successful with it, and they like, this is how we shut it down. And next season they come away to shut those two teams down, and they can no longer be successful running that type of an offense, where does it go?
I can't wait for someone to tell me how you scheme out a pistol. Really?
It's going to take some.
Would you rather have a 3-4 or a 4-3?
I want to go 4-3.
See, I want to go 3-4.
I want to go 4-3.
I need contain. And so
And to get contain, you need two defensive ends.
So you're going to pull your D's
two
up.
Two defensive ends who are defensive, and they're quick. And you know what? In my 4-3 system, they're not going to be in a 3-point stance.
Okay.
They're going to be up.
They're going to be up
as defensive ends,
and I will spine.
And I will stop that. I will teach these guys.
These are going to almost spy.
They're going to have a corner of their eye on the quarterback. I'm going to pitch my three linebackers in. I'm going to say, as a defensive end, your job is a quarterback. You've got three big linebackers. Their job is to get the running back. You guys don't even look at the running back.
Don't worry about the running back.
That is not your responsibility anymore.
Your duty is the quarterback.
You're the quarterback. If that, I tell you what, that quarterback gets around you,
you're toast. You're gone.
You're gonna sit on the bench.
That's all it is.
So don't even think about looking at did he hand it off or not. Your only responsibility, quarterback. Let my three linebackers punch in and take care and get the running back. And you worry about that quarterback not getting to the outside. That's how you stop.
So why aren't we doing it?
Because it's all talk right now. You got to scheme
it.
What's Mike Smith going to do to stop it this week?
What's he going to show us?
I don't know. But that's the thing is, you don't
Mike
just.
Mike Smith's a good defensive mind.
I don't know if you can install it in a week.
Or mid-season, or teach it.
You're going to have an off-season.
Preseason.
That means that if that's how my DEs are going to play, I'm going to have to.
You need a scout team that can actually run something resembling it.
I got to now.
How do you practice it if you don't have a scout team that can do it?
So you can't really just insert it and say, but if you have an offseason to plan around it, if you get training camp to teach your DEs and your linebackers, this is how you combat this.
Jeff Fisher be at the Super Bowl?
Probably not.
Doggone it. Yeah. Who else better to talk to about this than a guy who's a good defensive coach and has to face Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick twice a year? I mean, seriously.
But if defenses get smart to it and stop it, look, that's what we found out. Look, when the Wildcat came out,
it took a while
for everybody to, wait a minute, what are they doing over here?
Dumb.
And then they got it, and then boom, and then they stopped, and then you don't see it anymore. And I think that it may take a year or two, but I think it'll get stopped, and you'll want to go back to somebody who can throw the rock
from the pocket. I think I disagree with you, Steven. The reason I think you go back to a pocket quarterback is purely player safety. Okay.
Well,
you've got to keep your quarterback alive. Russell Wilson being the best example of what happens to not pocket passers.
Right.
Is their lifespan gets shortened dramatically. You're not going to see in his 13th year in the league, Tom Brady. You're not going to see Peyton Manning in it. You're not going to see these guys
see,
get beyond 5 years.
Yeah, 15-year quarterback.
Their lifespan is going to be barely that above a running back, which is 3 years.
Yeah.
It's crazy, and that's going to ask for so much more talent.
We're going to move on. The Chicago Bears have made a hire. They brought in a coach from the CFL. They went to Canada, eh? And they brought in Mark Trestman. Trestman.
The Argonauts.
Trestman promises Jeffrey his first promise. I promise to protect Jay Cutler.
He's not promising to beat the Packers?
I'm like,
Mark. How'd that work out for Lovey?
I'm like, Mark, are you going to get on the field yourself and run? How are you going to do? How are you going to protect Jay Cutler? So that's going to be interesting there.
Defensive coordinator has decided to move on while we're talking about Bears things. So that's interesting that with Mark Trestman coming on board. Yeah, Rod Marinelli has decided to move on. I got a chance to talk to Rod, Trestman says, and we had a good discussion. He's made up his mind, I believe, to move on. I know to move on. That makes no sense, but that's a quote. Right. And we'll begin the process of identifying those people that can be put in a position, but that's a process. I'll begin to talk. Boy, he sounds like Belichick here. We have a process. We're going to work through the process.
You know what excites Mark Trestman the most? He gets four downs to playing football in the United States.
Nice. But he has a much more shallow.
He actually said that's a quote. He's like, I'm excited.
To have four
downs. I get four downs.
You know, the third one we kick on. This is the fourth one. So it's more shallow end zone, though. That's in a narrower field. So that's going to take some getting used to. That's a good hire. We've got the big news coming out of Jacksonville is that Gus Bradley has been hired, the Seattle defensive coordinator. Is the new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he will be the latest guy to try and rebuild the franchise again.
Yeah.
He joins general manager Dave Caldwell, who led the coaching search after being hired last week. So Bradley will be introduced on Friday
at
Everbank Field.
And as we started out with, that just leaves the Arizona Cardinals with, are you even interviewing it? Have you even heard that they've interviewed anyone?
You know, this is so bizarre that Arizona would let go a good head coach in Ken Wisenhunt, a respected head coach. Why is Lovie Smith unemployed? These are things that I really are head scratchers to me.
Yeah.
What is going on there in Arizona? Yes, you don't have a quarterback. We agree. You do not have a quarterback. You do not have a running back. You have a wide receiver. You have a meh defense that's top 12.
Meh.
Top 12 defense. Yeah. That was my cred. Yeah. That was all of it was meh.
Meh.
The kids say that now. That's their way of saying, you know. Yeah. They've shortened it to meh. So it's also, ironically, it's a transitional phrase in Chinese. So a lot of people don't know that, but it goes both ways.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We're nothing but educational here at Rants and Raves Network.
So anything else? Chip Kelly thanking Andy Reid there for his...
Norv Turner, offensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. I like that move a lot.
Yes.
And let me tell you, I am going on the record saying I may be a Browns fan this next year.
Wow.
Why not? Chud, Turner no longer head coach. I like Turner not as a head coach.
Right.
I like him as an offense coordinator. Chud, I think Chud's such a good hire for them there in Cleveland that people are going to be surprised
Chud.
How quickly this team, he and I, we're this close.
I didn't know you were that close.
We're this close. About that close. It's going to be, I think they're putting together a good staff there in Cleveland, and I think that good days are really closer than they've seemed in a good deal of time, Stephen. Now, it is time. We cannot wait anymore.
I need to ask you this question. Is it because you can't say Chudzinski? Is that why you
I
just
can
cut
say
it
Chudzinski.
To? Okay, I was just wondering why you were just calling him Chud.
Because he's asked me to.
Oh, well, there you go.
I mean, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to tell a man, no, I'm not going to call you that. I'm going to say Chudzinski. Especially when I have to pause, Chudzinski. I can't even say it cleanly. Just please call me Chud. It's all good. Is it time? It's time. Now it's time
Bring
to
it.
Say goodbye to all our company. Okay, we're going to start off in Atlanta, Georgia, the Georgia Dome.
Why is this the first game?
Steven wants to flip-flop the games because he thinks this will be the most interesting game of the weekend, and he wants it to be the dessert. And not the appetizer.
That's right. I want dessert. Niners at Falcons. I'm calling the league right now. You think they might change it this late?
I think there's no chance in hell.
Okay.
Mostly because they don't like you. I mean, I've been talking to a lot of people. I actually was on the phone with the NFL today.
Nice.
Nicely. Jennifer, I want to just
Jennifer said,
tip to you.
You've got to get
she
rid
said,
of Miranda.
Miranda, he's really the problem there. He's what's holding you back. So, you know, if you had somebody that was just, I don't know, so much more like you, Jeff, is actually what she said.
Wow.
And I'm like, no, I hear that. I hear that. I get that. But I don't know how we're going to do this possibly.
Right.
Because really, I mean, he did start the show. I can't cut him loose.
I can, if I'm the one who's holding this NFL rants and raves back, I will step aside. I will do it.
You are so gracious.
I am.
Especially amidst nonsense. The more nonsense, the more gracious Steven becomes. Okay, the game, though, is a noon kickoff here Pacific time. GMT plus 8, EST plus 3.
What?
Noon kickoff. It always is every year.
What am I going to do in the morning for 5 hours?
Go to mass? I don't know. Not for 5 hours.
I go
but
to...
Just saying. That's an option.
Oh.
It's an option.
I guess.
Take the girls to mass.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. I don't care what you do. Go out to Denny's.
Are going to do on Saturday, since there is no football on Saturday.
Yeah.
We're going to Disneyland. You want to come?
You guys go a lot.
You want to come?
I don't have a pass.
Well, get
one. Which means
one.
It cost me $900 billion.
It's not that expensive, and get a pass.
I will never own a pass, having been a Silver Pass holder.
Yes.
And those who don't know the magic of the Silver Pass, when you're an employee of the Walt Disney Company, management and above.
They're very tight with those now.
Management and above, you're entitled to a Silver Pass, which gets you into the park on whenever you want, wherever you want. Florida, Tokyo, it don't matter.
Right.
And you go into the park, you get half off almost all the food, you get into the park for free, and it's very nice, and you can stay places for half price.
But you worked for the mouse, and so you, that's
I was a pimp for the mouse.
That is
one of the perks. That was one of
the
perks. And I did that for 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
And we went all the time.
Yeah.
And as a
and
result,
now, oh my God, you have to actually pay for it.
I won't. Once you have gone for free somewhere forever,
yes,
it's really hard to go back, Steven.
Right.
Especially when you're a cheap bastard like me.
Apparently, your daughter cries like, you get to go all the time, Uncle. My dad won't let me
She's gone with you.
Yes.
And she had a return ticket. So didn't she go twice in the last
year?
Yes,
she did.
So I don't want to hear any whining from that kid, that's for sure.
From that kid.
The boy, he can whine a little bit.
Yeah.
Boy got his butt handed to him by UCLA, 13-1.
Ooh,
in Ultimate
they
Frisbee
score
Tournament.
By ones, is that what it is?
Yeah, you score single points, I think.
Okay.
I haven't been to a...
What kind of a dad are you don't show up to his games?
Because they're in Goleta. They're 2.5-hour drive. And then one of them, we were in London when he came down to Irvine.
Right,
and, both of our families went to see him play down in Irvine.
Yes.
But he plays Ultimate.
13-1.
AKA Ultimate
Frisbee.
They got destroyed.
Yeah.
They got destroyed. And but they beat some pretty dang good teams. They beat some big Cal Poly Slow. They beat Pomona. They beat Cal State Bakersfield. They beat a bunch of teams. What was fun is they had UCI again. They've beaten UCI before, and they really like those guys for some reason, maybe because they're all nerds.
Yeah.
And they beat them again, which was fun. And they played 7 matches in 2 days.
Wow.
And
sounds exhausting.
Whining. Talk about whining. The kid's just like, I can't do this. I'm too old. Dude, you're 18.
Yeah, you're not too old.
I don't want to hear that. But yeah, it was fun. He's loving Ultimate Frisbee.
I want to be 18 again.
I want to be.
I want to be 18 again with all of the knowledge I have now.
Absolutely.
Can I do that?
Okay, so here's your public service for the day.
Okay.
I heard this yesterday on a program that I enjoy listening to a lot, and there was a guest host in who had people call in on this question.
Uh-huh.
Now this is Steven Miranda.
Okay.
Today, talking to Steven Miranda at 17.
Okay.
What would Steven Miranda today want to tell Steven Miranda at 17? If you could share one piece of advice.
Don't stop playing football till they make you stop playing football.
That's the one piece of... You could give any advice
That's
on
it.
Life. You could probably say, buy Apple computer stock.
That's not that is not important to Steven Miranda.
What's important to... You don't go third person on yourself. I would tell him.
Oh, okay.
You don't go all third person on me.
Why not? Going all third
know.
Person
it scares me.
Yeah,
scares
okay.
Me.
No, I would tell him to not stop. until someone made you stop.
Is that another way of suggesting that you have regret?
I'm not sure I have regret. I just know that I stopped.
Confidence. You stopped too soon.
I stopped for the wrong reasons.
Why did you stop?
Because
I've never asked you. And if it's too personal, then take the fifth.
I plead the fifth.
That's totally cool. Yeah. I don't. Heavens to Betsy, I don't want to just go down that road.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really interesting. Instead of what advice would you give to a kid?
Yeah.
What advice would you give to yourself? Ask yourself that one. It's a fun dinner discussion.
I don't know. You may be right.
Buy Apple computer.
Tell your dad that you need to borrow $5,000. Buy as much stuff that you can get.
Buy five bucks worth of Apple computer. Dude, that's been a 70-80 bagger. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah.
It was when I was at Disney. It was always stalled at $24 along with Disney stock, which was $24 at the time. And even with it splitting at least once, it's over $500. And people are bemoaning that it's down to $500 a share.
Right.
I'm like, that was from $24.
Yes.
Do the math, people. That's like a 100 bagger. That's beautiful. So I thought that was a fun question. There's something you can discuss with your friends.
That is very interesting.
Between games.
What would you tell yourself?
Yeah.
Freaking, what was that? What's that, 20 years ago? What did I tell myself 20 years ago? It's very interesting.
There you go.
Do you have a? Have you invented the time machine so I can go back and tell myself?
Nah, they did that movie.
Yeah.
They did that movie. First two were fun.
I wouldn't have used the DeLorean, though.
It's a little conspicuous.
Yeah.
Ford Escort. Can that get up to 70.2 miles?
88 miles.
See, that's the problem there. You have to go that fast.
You can't get a Ford Escort to 85.
Pedal faster! Stephen, we are San Francisco and Atlanta right now. We are at the Georgia Dome, a place that we have been to and enjoyed. And Stephen,
this starts my first mantra of here's my pick, but here's who I'm going to cheer for.
Understanding that picks and fandom are very different.
Yes.
Okay? The fact of the matter is, I don't know if I'm going to be cheering for either of my picks, and that's fine.
Well, my pick is the San Francisco 49ers.
How the hell would you not cheer for them?
You're still mad because
of Alex Smith?
No, you said you're over that.
You said you're over that.
I'm on board, and that's why I picked you up, because Kaepernick looks good. Mm-hmm. So they've got my vote that they will win the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I have a little soft spot for, Togo and the Falcons and everything that they've gone through over the last several years.
Blank, dude.
And not being able to get this far in the playoffs with since Vic. I think I will be cheering for the Falcons, and if they win, I'll be okay. But I don't see how they would have to, one, be perfect in their execution. No turnovers, no penalties, or at least less than three.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to score touchdowns. They can't settle for field goals. And they would have to be perfect on defense, playing perfect football on offense. I think the way they have to attack San Francisco is they have to spread their offense. If they get into a game where they're going to try and pound Turner the burner at San Francisco, they're going to lose.
First of all, spell them with Snelling occasionally and mix it up. Okay, and Jacquees Bell.
And split them out.
Jacquees Bell?
Jacquees Rogers.
Throw
the ball to Rogers out in space. Make him use his legs. Make the Niners get out of their comfort zone. Unfortunately, I don't know if that's how Atlanta's going to attack them. That's how I would attack them. I'd spread my wide receivers. I'd be in 4 or 5 wide packages all the time. All the time. Spread them out. That's when San Francisco struggles. But if you keep it close and you only have 2 wide receivers and they can get the Smith brothers to come at you from the inside and from the outside, Falcons will be in trouble.
What a difference it made having Justin Smith back in there, even injured, even in such a limited capacity last week. The difference it made for Aldon being able to break loose and get at the quarterback and apply pressure to the pocket and collapse the pocket.
Aaron Rodgers was really impressive. Running for his life off.
And it was, it's Justin Smith.
And while we're at it, here is the one torn dollar that I owe you back for Snuffleupagus.
Oh, I get the torn dollar back.
Yes.
Steven thought that the classic Sesame Street character, Snuffy, was Snuffleupagus.
Snuffleupagus,
and
yes.
I was confident it was Snuffleupagus, and I won $1. But I didn't know it was coming from that pool. That, to me, is show money. And this was supposed to come from your personal bank, this dollar wager at lunch.
Yes, I'm sorry.
And especially shouldn't have been torn, that being said.
I'm sorry. You got your dollar back.
Well, do you have any other dollars to wager this weekend?
Yeah, they're up in the house.
Up at the house. Left my, I'm not going to the house. Are you going to the house?
Well, can I be good for it? Can I just put like a little napkin right here and it'll represent the dollar?
You want a marker?
Yes. Can you give me a marker?
I've never had a marker at a casino, but I've always wanted
never?
A marker. Why would I have a marker, Steven?
I don't know if I should tell this story.
Everyone is screaming at their iPods right now. What? Damn it, Steven, tell it!
All right, so when I first moved out...
I do this because I love you. I help you, our listeners. I say I am your voice.
When I first moved out to L.A. from El Paso, I drove. I put all my earthly possessions in the back of my car. I had taken all my money out of the bank, which was close to $8,000.
I mean, nearly $75.
Close to $8,000, and I came out to L.A. Via Las Vegas.
Via Las Vegas.
My thing
it's
was...
Viva, by the way, Steve.
Yeah, I said Viva. Via Las Vegas.
I was just correcting you on the song. It's Viva.
I wasn't singing the song.
Elvis
I was coming out to L.A. I decided I'm going to spend a few days in Las Vegas, you know. Single guy on the road, doesn't know anybody, doesn't
Vegas,
have a care
baby.
In the world, going to Vegas, baby. Got $8,000 in the pocket. So the last thing I hear from my brother, though, is like, dude, you're taking a lot of money in cash.
Uh-huh.
He's like, when you get to Vegas, you know, give it to the casino to hold it for you.
Uh-huh.
That way you don't have to feel like you got $8,000 in your pocket in the casino.
Never thought about it.
And then when you go to the
Never
table.
Never brought $8,000 into a casino, so I can't really
he's
say.
Like, and then when you go to the you know, you go to a table, you just ask them for a marker, and they'll take that off the money that they're holding for you.
That sounds really James Bond bitching.
It was. So this is
Did
my
you
first
play
time ever. No, I went in. This was when I.
Which seems like the dumbest game ever.
Yeah, I know. I'm not a big fan of that. I went to the poker table. So I sat down. I'd never been. You know,
in a poker room?
I've never been in a poker room.
What the hell are you doing in a poker room if you've never been in a poker room?
I was learning, baby. I was learning.
You're going to learn the school of hard knocks is what you're going to learn.
No, I actually wound up doing well.
I got really lucky my first time in a poker room.
This is
I
exactly
walked away
what
with
happened.
A couple hundred. Well, and people wanted to kill me at the table because I wasn't playing well.
So I sit down and the pit boss says, you know, what are you buying in for?
Well, how much do I have to buy it for?
How much buy it for? And he's like, at least $100.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay, well, I need a marker for $500. And he's like, okay. So he took my driver's license and boom, and he gives me a marker $500.
What does a marker look like?
It's a little chip.
Oh, that's so cool.
That says marker. It actually says marker
that's
on it.
That's so cool.
And so now everybody's looking at me like,
who the hell's this guy?
Yeah, well, why does he have
And you were young and good looking.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's add that to it.
Everybody's like, why? Who is
he?
Yeah,
he's
who
a movie star.
He?
He's a movie star.
And why?
I saw him in that thing.
Yeah, right. So I wind up
winning.
He did
that mop infomercial.
In about an hour, I wound up winning about $800.
I'm a pure intimidation factor.
Literally, I don't know what it was. It was maybe beginner's luck, but every card, every two cards I got, Jeffrey,
Ace
was,
King. Hey, those are good. I'll play them.
It was
hey,
like
they're suited.
Literally, I think my third hand, I got bullets. How many times do you get bullets playing poker?
I need three or four in a lifetime.
In a very long time, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, literally.
And by
so
the way, I've lost with bullets.
Really?
Just to say.
And I mean, so literally, I was ready to go try something else. What I really wanted to do was hit the blackjack table.
And now you know you really wanted to hit the craps table. You just didn't know that yet.
Yeah, exactly. So then I cash out, and everybody's like, "That's it?" I was like, "Yeah, I got to go." You know, I was like, "I didn't know how to, you know, like you're supposed to like give them a chance to win their money back."
You were not supposed to give them a chance to win. I actually got permission from the pit boss.
Yeah.
The table took a break.
Yeah.
For some reason, couple guys need to take a piss or something like that.
Right.
So the table takes a break. I whisper to the dealer. I'm like, when can I leave? Because all I had played is garage poker.
Right.
And I'm like, when can I leave? Because the garage poker, if you take the bank, you don't leave.
Uh-huh.
You don't. In fact, by general etiquette, you're the last one to leave.
Right.
If you're up the most. You're not the first one to leave.
Right.
Because you leave whenever you want.
Yeah, right.
What do you mean? I could leave right now?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah? I'm like, no, seriously, these guys aren't going to come out and beat me up. And he said, no.
Well, check this out.
He says, are you here to make money or are you here to play poker? I'm here to make money.
Yeah.
He says, then leave if you want to. Yeah. And I left.
So then how you know how like now, you know, you put your money and they count it and they give you like black chips?
They color you up.
Yeah, okay. So instead of coloring you up, this first time
what,
I was
there.
What,
gives you your marker back?
Yeah, you get a marker. And now just your bank has more money.
That's bullcrap.
Well, no.
I like coloring
up.
Well,
no. Then I go to the blackjack table and at the time, I mean, this was Caesars. And it was so packed,
which
Jeff,
is one of my least favorite places to play.
It's my first time out there. This is late. 90s. And that's where are you going to go?
Dude, that's right.
Go to Caesars. My
first casino was Caesars.
Right.
I'm not putting you down.
So all
just
the,
pointing out the irony.
All the cheap $5 blackjack tables are gone.
I remember when those existed.
All the $10 tables are filled.
I'm so old. I remember when there was dollar blackjack.
So I'm like, I'm up $800. I just wanted poker. I'm gonna sit down. I'm gonna play $25 a hand. So I get a marker for $1,000, and now everybody's looking at me. I'm like, it's just $1,000, people, relax.
I'm in a casino,
yeah,
and I've got $1,000. This but should not be the first time you've seen
this. I was sitting by myself. So,
I love playing one-on-one.
I was doing pretty good with just one hand, and then I asked if I could play another hand. She's like, yeah, but you got to double your bet.
To be clear.
To play two hands.
Not, you didn't want to play back-to-back hands. You want to play two hands
at the same time. She's like, yes, you can do that, but you have to double your
bet.
So now it's $50 each time, so it's $100.
You know, at the end of the casino, you don't have to double your bet,
to double.
Too.
Well,
there you go.
I don't go to any casinos.
I do.
So anyway, so every hand is $100 on the table.
Right.
I was a little nervous.
Which I've done that in the last year.
Really?
And I'm 47!
Yeah. I was a little nervous, but I wound up doing it. Least to say that first night, my first whole night in Las Vegas was amazing. I wound up winning like $2,800, and then my room was just awesome, overlooking the Strip, and I thought I was like Mr.
The King
awesome.
Of Las Vegas.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Jerry Lewis is the King of Las
and
Vegas.
And then, I don't know why, because I was in Vegas and the slot machines were all jingling and jangling.
Oh, not the slot machines.
I took $100, put it in a slot machine, and I won $350. Jing, 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 jing. Boom, boom. It was a crazy, literally a crazy experience. It's one of those where I think they kind of hook you in. Here's a new guy. Let him win a little bit.
Would you call yourself now an addict? Yes, you would.
I want to go back to Vegas.
Here's a little cocaine.
Yeah, exactly.
It's free.
Exactly.
It's free.
And then you just keep coming back for more.
Okay.
So there you go.
High, high Falcons, straight down the field.
Is that who you got?
High, high Falcons, never.
You're taking me in there.
I told you I was taking my Super Bowl.
So you're taking your Super Bowl picks really this weekend?
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, man, that means there has to be a challenge game because I'm going to be against you in both.
That's right.
Oh, I am not. I am sick to my stomach right now, people.
Here's the thing. Steven says to me at lunch, is there going to be a challenge game this week? I said, probably. And he says, you're taking the Ravens? I said, probably. And he's like, oh, I hate that. I hate that. I hate that.
I
want to root for. I want to root for Baltimore, and I got to pick the Patriots, and that means I got to actually cheer for the Patriots. That's bullcrap. I don't want to root for the Patriots. And I'm like, all I'm thinking in my head is, there's another game, too. There's another game, too. So now Steven has both games available to him.
Yes.
As Chelsea. And now he's mad again.
But I went on to say a minute ago that I'm picking the San Francisco 49ers because I think they will win the game. But I'm going to be cheering for Atlanta.
Cheer for me. Matt Ryan, I told everybody 2 years ago when they signed Julio Jones,
yes,
moved up in the draft to get him, they were confident that they had a Super Bowl winning team, period. They are 2 years into this. Mike Smith is grown in his head coaching duties year on year. Matt Ryan is grown as a quarterback year on year. They're just like the Ravens are going to be playing for Ray Lewis. The Falcons got a lot to be playing for as well. They got a lot of seasoned veterans on that team. Tony Gonzalez being one of them that these guys are going to route. They're not nearly as emotional a team. They're the cerebral version of the Baltimore Ravens. You will agree with me there. The fact of the matter is there's no way in hell that Colin Kaepernick does half of what he did last week. Half!
Put your dollar out. Here's my marker.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Here's my marker.
Your markers are good in this house. Yes. And since Steven's only putting out a Raiders-Cowboys game ticket from the press box, yeah. I'm putting a torn dollar out. I will not put a whole dollar out against a marker of a Raiders-Cowboys preseason
what?
Game.
Oh, how about Super Bowl media Super from Bowl last year? Will that be a real dollar?
It's not game day. Oh, that is game day.
It is game day.
Okay, for a game day credential, which, by the way, I will take.
You'll take it from me?
I'm putting a real dollar out there. And you win a buck, and I win your Super Bowl.
No, this is just a replacement of a dollar.
Game day.
Are you kidding me? Look
at
here's my draft one.
I know.
And here's my
look. Anytime they give you your ticket and put your picture on it,
yes, that's pretty cool.
That's when you know the security is extremely high.
Here's 45. Here's 46, and I'm gonna get 47.
I know. But you may have to bring people to my house to see 46.
No, that's not happening.
Well, you don't have
They're even different, Jeff.
I know they are.
They change them every year.
Have they asked us to submit pictures for this year?
They're just going to use the same one. This is the same one.
I've changed. I'm really? So much better looking.
You can put a new picture. I've already assigned I used the picture that you used last year. So I'm sorry.
I look so different now.
Okay, put in a new picture.
I look like an idiot. I look like an idiot. That's 45. Did I not update it? I look like I'm a convict.
You updated it last year.
And then there. Last year I got my glasses at least. Yeah. That was the draft. So I assume they're using the draft one from last year.
Yeah.
From April. That's fine. I look snarky, but that's cool.
Snarky.
Here's the thing, Steven. The biggest reason I'm taking the Atlanta Falcons.
You do know that half of rushing is just 92 yards. He just needs 92 yards.
I said half of what he did. How many touchdown passes? Two.
Two. So that's one touchdown pass and 90 yards rushing.
Yeah.
Please, you might as well just give me that dollar
child,
now.
Please, child.
Please. Just give me that dollar now.
I taught Kara child, please, and she liked it a lot.
Did she?
She liked it a lot. She was not coming to the dinner table. I said, child, please. She looked at me with that little pissy look only a 15-year-old girl can give.
Yes.
And then I explained to her what it was, and she thought it was pretty funny.
And she does it really well. Why
she
have you taught her that?
She owns the pissy look. I think she's learned it from her mom.
Is that what it is? I think I've only once in our, we've been around now for 16 years.
You've known Kara since she was born.
Yes, Kara since she was born. So, but you, I mean, we knew you for about a year and a half before Kara was born.
Been married 15 years, you have.
Yeah, I know. We're coming up on March, 15 years.
I'm coming up at 25,
dude. So, but I think in the 16, 17 years that, you know, I've been around you guys, I think I've only gotten that look from Didi once.
Oh, but when she throws it, you know.
Oh, no. I was like, oh, my God, what did I do to Didi?
Jeff's right.
I was like, Didi? Because you get nervous because I never get it from her. And so the one time I got it, I was like.
Do you want my explanation as to why I'm taking the Falcons?
Yes, I do.
And I will even say.
I think everybody else wants to know why.
I was suspecting they were more curious than you.
Yes.
Because you don't really care. But I'm going to say the Falcons for the Brits. You want to root for the Falcons for this reasons. Here's what's going to happen. The last time Colin Kaepernick played a game that had a rowdy house on the road, he was deer in the headlights.
Yeah, this ain't Seattle, dog.
This ain't Seattle, but you and I have been there, Steven.
Yes.
And
we've been to Seattle. And
I would say half.
No, half.
Look, no. The Georgia Dome is one of the loudest five stadiums in the NFL.
Disagree. They were not loud at all.
Even when they were winning. It was a regular season game against the Packers where they were going to lose.
They were winning at the point.
At the beginning.
They were winning 14-0,
It was a typical Falcons game. They got up early and then they pissed it away.
Exactly.
I know.
And you... okay.
Colin Kaepernick,
keep
when he
it.
Could not hear... and could not audible well, he didn't just get frustrated, he got befuddled.
Befuddling.
He became incapable of making good decisions, and it greatly affected his ability to run that offense, and I don't think anybody matures that fast. That was just 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And up until this point, he's dealt with generally not hostile crowds. He's going to have a hostile crowd. The Atlanta Falcons have not been to an NFC championship game in how many years?
I don't know. It's been a while.
We'll call it a billion.
Not just, that many, but it's
been a long, long time. Those Atlanta fans, Stephen, are passionate fans, and they are loud. And their dome provides them a significant home field advantage. The advantage will also apply to the 49ers' offense, which runs better on turf, if you ask me. So I acknowledge that. But I don't see them doing what they did last week. And I believe that Matt Ryan's experience is such, and his experience at all the different position players around him, is going to be a difference maker. This is going to be a hotly contested battle, a very close game. And I think it's going to come down to crunch time, and Colin's not going to be able to hear, and he's going to throw a pick. And I think that's going to be ball game.
You have to go back to 2004 season when they lost to the Eagles in Philly in the NFC.
Was Vic quarterbacking?
No, this was 04.
So who was quarterbacking?
McNabb.
Billy Joel Tolbert?
Donovan McNabb.
How about that Billy Joel Tolbert?
It's a long time. And McNoob? The last time they won it.
McNoob was quarterbacking?
Yeah, McNabb was the quarterback
against
for
the
Eagles. Against the Falcons. He was the quarterback for the Eagles.
Right, but who's the Falcons? We're talking about the Falcons.
Vic. Mike Vick was the...
That's what I just asked! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! I said Vick was quarterbacking? No, McNabb.
Oh, because I said the Eagles won, and we're talking about the Eagles, and he's now the...
Vick play. I'm like, McNabb never played for the freaking Falcons! But Vic did play for the Falcons and the Eagles, and that makes it a little confusing. I get you there. I feel you, as my daughter says. And that could be confusing, so I will not be insulting to you unnecessarily.
Yes.
But, yeah, I was trying to conceptualize Donovan McNabb in Atlanta, and I'm like, that just does not compute at all.
The last time Falcons actually won the NFC Championship game, you have to go all the way back to the 98-99 season where they beat the Vikings in Minnesota 32-27. Who was the quarterback back then? That's good question.
Just wiki it.
Steve DeBerg?
Oh,
Chandler. No. Chandler. Chandler Bing.
Chris DeBerg.
Chandler Bing.
Lady in red is dancing with me.
No. Steve DeBerg was in the back. Chris Chandler.
Yeah, Chris Chandler?
Yes.
Look it up, but it sounds right, which is crazy.
Chris Chandler was the quarterback who beat the Vikings.
Wow. It's been a long time.
Yeah, and then they went to the Super Bowl and got their butts whooped.
I cannot imagine.
It was Chris Chandler. He was backed up by Steve DeBerg, and the third string quarterback at that time was Tony Graziani. That was back with Jamal Anderson and the Dirty Birds. Ooh, look at the Dirty Bird there.
Did you hear about the mayor of Seattle injuring himself doing the Dirty Bird dance or something?
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I thought you were going to say
he was mocking the Dirty Bird dance.
And he
Ray
hurt
Lewis's
himself?
Dirty Bird dance. Yeah. It was Ray Lewis's dance.
Okay.
Whoever the mayor of the team that lost last
Denver.
The Denver mayor.
Okay.
Injured himself doing Ray Lewis's dance.
Really?
Mimicking it.
That's
that is
funny.
From the, really? I did not make that up. That's not from The Onion. Although, Stephen, The Onion has had some amazing NFL stories.
Oh, I got some breaking news, and this is really breaking news right now.
Hang on, I don't think I have the breaking news in my
come
cart.
On
soundbite. I don't.
Right.
I'm so sorry. So tell us what you need to tell us then.
U.S. District Court Judge Helen Berrigan has dismissed Jonathan Vilma's defamation lawsuit against NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. There you go.
Wow. Well, you know what? Is
Vilma's
that going to stop this? No, it's going to go to the Supreme
lawyer
Court.
Said that
we're
going to
appeal.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah. And for constantly being Lance Armstrong to the NFL.
Game ball.
He gets game ball.
Yeah. Sorry. Don't approve. Drop it. Make it go away. Okay? So, I'm taking Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. And ironically, I'll be rooting for the 49ers. I'll be rooting against my pick. You'll be rooting against your pick.
Yeah, well,
just change our picks, and he hides his Super Bowl credential.
I don't want you to take it.
You know, the week of game credential, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's game day credential.
I got
that's
both
the one
of those.
That counts.
Yeah, the game day one.
The week one would be a dollar. That'd be worth a dollar. But the game day credential, that's different.
I can't.
They give
that
the week credentials to just about anybody. If you breathe, you can come up with one of them.
I don't know about
that.
They
have to have your picture on file.
Yeah, they do have to have your picture. And you got to at least be...
And be fingerprinted. And they have to have a sample of your DNA.
Printed?
Well, I spat on them. I mean, to make sure they had a sample of my DNA. Anyway,
so I just saw this that was just posted on NFL.com. It just came through. So there
just like
go.
That, Stevie. It's getting late here.
It is.
Fast.
So I have the Niners. You have the Falcons. I'm going to go ahead and I'll wait till the next one.
You want to make it the challenge game, and you will make it the challenge game because you cannot have the New England Patriots be the challenge game.
It's going to be that one.
All right.
I'm more confident in that one than I am.
From the Onion headline, Gary Kubiak congratulates Houston Texans on yet another Houston Texans season. Following his team's loss to New England Patriots last weekend, Houston Texans coach Gary Kubiak reportedly gathered players and staff to congratulate them on engineering yet another Houston Texans season. I know some of you are still disappointed. No matter what, we can hold our heads high for putting together back-to-back winning seasons, said Kubiak. After that, winning 11 of their first 13 games, the team's ability to succumb critical injuries, totally lose momentum, and eventually bow out of the playoffs and divisional round made it, quote, one of the most Houston Texans seasons in franchise history.
The Onion.
I love The Onion. How do you not love The Onion? And their sports page is just amazing. This was my favorite from recently. This goes back to last week's game. The Seattle Seahawks touch reception. Golden Tate claims he caught final Hail Mary in Falcons game. Following the Seattle Seahawks playoff loss to the Atlanta Falcons, Seattle wide receiver Golden Tate reportedly insisted Sunday that he caught Russell Wilson's 48-yard desperation pass as time expired, claiming the play should have been ruled a touchdown. I had possession at the end. I absolutely did. I got in there under Julio Jones. I fought for the ball the whole way, and I came down with it, said Tate. Adding that after briefly conferring at the back of the end zone, the referees made the wrong call. It's hard to tell because there's no perfect camera angle on the replay. But if you were there and you saw it up close, I clearly caught the ball. It was a legal catch. Was anybody else near that ball?
Nobody.
It was such a clean interception.
Yeah, nobody even touched it.
Nobody in the area code. But Golden Tate insists that he caught it.
Oh, that's a great one.
The Onion, man. They're
that's
the best.
A great one, The Onion. All right, the final game, the AFC Championship game, 3:30 p.m.
One more. Last one.
Okay.
Adrian Peterson re-tears his ACL to be better for the 2013 season. How good is that? These guys know how to write funny stuff.
The Baltimore Ravens and Ray Lewis travel to New England. Have you seen the bulletin board that some Patriots fans took out?
Apparently not.
Ray Lewis's retirement party starts in, and then it's counting down.
That's clever. He's a clever fella.
Apparently, some Baltimore Ravens fans though don't find that funny, Jeff.
Okay.
Okay.
It's time for me to do a little rant.
Jeffrey's ranting.
Baltimore Ravens fans, please stop acting like a 12-year-old girl who's been snubbed at the junior high formal. Okay? Let me speak your language, Baltimore Ravens wussy fans. Nobody's disrespecting you. We just thought the Broncos were better than you. Okay? Don't be mad at us because we thought there was a team that was better than you. You probably have the best team in the universe. Okay? I'll repeat, you probably have the best team in the universe. But sometimes people who have to choose between two teams won't pick your team. That doesn't mean that they hate you. That doesn't mean that they're disrespecting you. That simply means they think the other team's better. Okay, more whining.
Wow.
I've heard it on radio all week. I heard Pat Kerwin practically undressed by a caller. I want you to apologize for what you said last week. Pat's like, what'd I say? You said we didn't have a chance. I thought you didn't have a chance.
what's
on Facebook, somebody said, and the Ravens fans deserve an apology. Put it on
for
our
what?
Facebook page.
Really?
I'm like, apologizing for what? For thinking that you couldn't go into Mile High and beat Peyton Manning? Okay. If that warrants an apology, the Baltimore Ravens were my preseason pick to win the Super Bowl in August.
And so you're taking them again in this game, right?
I am taking them again in this game, but it's not because Challenge of you game. Little whiny girls.
Mark it down. Mark it down.
Shuggy ducky quack quack.
There you go.
You're going to actually... Wow, this is fascinating that he thinks the chances are better that the Falcons are going to beat the 49ers, which to me is the less likely of the scenarios. Of the picks that I am least confident in, it is Atlanta defeating San Francisco.
Yeah.
Baltimore will defeat New England because they virtually did last year.
Virtually only counts never, actually. Doesn't even count virtually.
When your foot is Billy Cundiff and when your wide receiver is called what?
That was only Lee Evans. But remember Lee that Evans. The Billy Cundiff kick was only going to get him to overtime. It wasn't going to make
win the
game.
What was
Lee
Evans going to do? That was going to win the game.
Well, but Tom Brady was still going to have about a minute
they
and change.
So many bad things happened, as did the 49ers last year. Yes. I think it's fantastic that we have three of the four teams that were in this place last year.
And the Giants are right now sitting at home. The Onion should write an article about this.
Where the hell are
we? We should be there.
Why aren't
we hosting the 49ers this week?
That'd be epic. If they finished the season worth a damn, which they didn't.
Yeah.
But if they had, that would have been epic.
It would have.
But I don't want to see this Giants team playing this 49ers team because they'll get killed. And you know what?
They wouldn't have a chance. The Giants went into San Francisco earlier this year and crushed them.
They did.
Crushed.
Look, whomever the 49ers lost to? The Rams twice. Okay. That's laughable.
Once and then tied.
At Seattle and against the Giants.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a weird grouping of people that
they
lost to.
The Minnesota Vikings.
Very, very, very early, strange. But that was also in the...
Is it kind of weird how their season has gone? Win-win-loss, win-win-tie, win-win-loss, win-win-loss, win-win.
Tie.
Do you think they can't tie this week?
That was my sentence.
That's
why.
Like
it was humor. Steven hates when humor takes the form of obvious. When you get it, it's like 1 + 1 = 5. No, it doesn't. It's like... Wow! Nobody
well,
can
like
actually
you don't
think
like
that.
Humor that makes fun of popular culture. You don't like that.
You don't. So. I don't generally appreciate it. It's like, oh boy, that was like Adele. Oh! Okay.
Because Jeff's like, who's Adele? And she's got I don't know who that is.
I recognized your voice in Skyfall.
Really?
I'm like, oh my gosh, that's Adele.
And your mom was like, oh my god, you know who Adele is, honey?
No, with my mom, like you do with Downtown Abbey, I say Adelaide.
You mess
to my
up
family
the,
and to my mom, just to, and it irritates them to no end, and that brings me great amusement.
Yes, see, so now you understand when I go Downtown Abbey to Trisha and to
I've
you?
I've always understood it, okay, I just good. Haven't appreciated it. Actually, I did appreciate it once I understood that you understood.
Yes.
It was just important to me that you know.
Yes.
That's all.
But that's the thing. Most everybody is like, no. It's out. I know what it is.
That people fall for it now is what's so funny because I've done the Adelaide thing for a year.
Yeah.
And is that Adelaide? And the same people bite on the same bad joke. No, it's Adele. I'm like, and Mom, I don't like pumpkin pie. We've had this conversation 100 times. Are you falling into full blown dementia, Mom?
Yeah.
Because I don't think you are. I just think you're dumb.
You're so mean to your mom. You need to call her.
I
after
called her
show.
Yesterday, and she's like, "I was gonna call you this morning." Like, but I call you every Wednesday. Why were you gonna call me?
Yeah,
I love my mother. Okay.
Yeah.
We've moved on, and I forgot because I'm still back
so
in Atlanta.
So you are taking
I'm back
Baltimore.
In Atlanta.
I'm taking New England.
I'm the guy with the cojones. I'm the guy with the cojones.
You are
okay.
This is the biggest spread of the weekend. My team's at home. You're taking
time for guess the spread.
We know it.
Atlanta, San Francisco, Atlanta.
That has, if my sources are correct, has moved up to 5.
It's 4.
It opened at 3.
No, it opened at 3. According to covers.com, the open was +3, 105 on the money line, 47.5, and then -110
when we actually looked at it two days ago,
it probably moved to 4.
But that's when it opened. It opened Tuesday.
It moved since opening.
Wow.
Okay. They're accurate on this stuff.
All right. Well, I understand. But when I saw
Baltimore,
it,
New England
I saw
opened -9.5.
Right.
And now?
See, and I thought that had opened at 8.5.
That's now 8.5.
Okay. I thought that's what it opened at.
Apparently, we got in just after the lines had opened. They'd already moved. Because a lot. You're going to tell me there's not $1 billion waiting to be thrown out there the second the lines open?
The second it opens?
Yeah.
That's Dude, crazy.
There's people with all their computers that know exactly how they're going to...
computer addiction. It is.
No, well, no, it's got...
Computer
it's
addiction. I mean, gambling addiction.
Yeah. It is people working the system.
Yeah.
They're trying to move... And if you have not seen the 60 Minutes piece on the high rollers...
Trying to move the
number.
And that's what
happens. They do move the number.
Yeah.
They'll put $1 million on a game to just make it move a half a point so they can put $2 million
on the other side
because they needed that half point according to all their computers. It's like... That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. So it's on 60 Minutes. Go find it. 60 Minutes app is free in the United States. And for heaven's sake, have the app. It's if you're ever waiting somewhere and you have 20 minutes, 17 minutes, what they do terrific pieces. Love 60 Minutes.
All right. So there you
so
go.
We got the up-to-date lines.
I've got San Francisco. You've got Atlanta.
Here's another thing. The weather's going to suck out loud.
You've got Baltimore.
The weather's going to be what it was in Denver without altitude. It's going to be just damn cold.
The Patriots don't care about weather, man.
Patriots don't care about weather, and do the Ravens?
Probably not.
Not really.
Yeah.
The Baltimore Ravens are playing for Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
The New England Patriots are playing for Tom Brady.
Actually, they're playing for Bill Belichick, and I would much rather not disappoint Bill Belichick than disappoint Ray Lewis.
When was the last time that the New England Patriots won a Super Bowl?
It's been a while.
Yeah,
when was the last time the Ravens did? You got to go even longer.
That did happen. And that was, and again, that was a, excuse me, Super Bowl with, what's his name, his quarterback?
Trent Dilfer. Yes.
And I like Trent Dilfer. He's grown on me over the years. And Brian Billick was head coach, and love him. This is a totally different team.
I predicted
the beginning of their demise to be this season.
Yeah.
And although they've played better than I thought, I'm going to continue with so many of the things I said preseason are happening that I have got to roll with what I saw in the preseason because when I don't, I usually end up being very, very sorry.
Yeah, I think it will be 49ers, Patriots in the Super Bowl, and I think the Niners actually win that game in 2 weeks in New Orleans.
Wow. To stand at that podium again with Tom Brady losing again and Giselle standing over there at the side,
Yeah,
I don't like extreme sadness from athletes.
Well, you asked Giselle, would you go up to her and ask her if she thought Wes Walker should have caught the ball?
No, but I'll ask her if Colin Kaepernick looks like Mr. Tumnus to her.
Did you
That's
see the picture?
That's the reason the 49ers.
Somebody posted on our Facebook.
No.
Side by side.
No.
Go to Facebook where you made
the
comment.
I'm there because we're going
to
close the show out with our questions getting answered. We've got a ton of questions. But here's the thing that I've got. I've got to get this off. We've got a couple items that we have to do, Steven.
Okay. What are the items?
One of them is the worst Super Bowl. What would be the worst Super Bowl
matchup? Out of these four?
Out of these, yeah.
Falcons, Patriots.
I say Falcons, Ravens.
I don't know. I think it would be
my Super Bowl. I think it's the worst Super Bowl.
I don't know if it's the worst. I think that Super Bowl is the more
as far as television
boring.
And stuff.
I think
yes,
that's the more
yes,
boring.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
But I think the worst Super Bowl where you're going to have like I think the Patriots would just blow out the Falcons. It wouldn't even be close.
Oh yeah, that would be bad.
Ugly.
That would be bad.
Yeah.
As far as lopsided Super Bowls go.
Right, yes.
But as far as the one that nobody's going to...
Yeah,
it's going to produce the biggest yawn.
Yeah, it'd be Ravens at Falcons.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you.
Yes.
And that's my Super Bowl.
That is your Super Bowl. It's not pretty.
But it doesn't mean that I won't have a great time. Just because the majority of Americans think that it's not sexy doesn't mean I think it's sexy. I do think it's
sexy. So, Orman L. Red on our episode 848 posting on Facebook... Put a link
okay,
up.
Okay, there it is. Wow. So, Steven, it's just the thumbnail?
It is.
No, I have just the thumbnail in front of me.
No,
I clicked on it.
Yeah.
And the guy on the right, I'm like, okay, there's Kaepernick.
Yes.
That's Mr. Tumnus. I'm like, okay, there's Kaepernick. Now let's see how much he looks like Mr. Tumnus.
Yeah.
Wait, that's Kaepernick.
That's Kaepernick, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's brilliant.
Their
Come out
nose,
to our Facebook page.
Their eyes.
Join the 2,442 people that are friends with us outside there. So we're going to do rapid fire
questions,
Q&A from our Facebook page because I posted that we would answer questions. That's really good. And there is 2,425 people that
Say, that's a lot of questions. We can't answer
people
all
People like
of them.
Our page. So we will start in chronologic order.
Okay.
Because that's the most democratic way to do it. Okay. About an hour ago,
Here's how we're going to do this. You say the person, the question, I'll answer, and then I'll read the next question, person,
cool.
And you answer.
Mark Harrison Ready? Wants to know, have you any idea on the status of Joe Staley? He looked in a world of pain last weekend.
Currently, right now, the Niners are saying that he is going to play. Yes, he's still playing in a lot of pain, but he's going to play through it. Matt Humphreys asked, Jeffrey, surely the first team to show any defense will win the Super Bowl. Who can step up in this age of offensive power?
First of all, Matt, please stop calling me Shirley. Second of all, the defense that I think is best here is the 49ers.
Okay.
Barry Jones, Steve, wants to know, what do the Angry Birds have to do to make an aviary Super Bowl?
I see. Well... Oh, so
it's
Ravens Falcons. Well, we just said that's the worst Super Bowl.
Well, it's my prediction.
What do they have to do?
What do the Angry Birds have to do?
One,
you get the fun questions.
Yes, the Falcons definitely have to open it up, and they have to keep pace with the 49er team that's going to put up a lot of points. And I think same thing for the Baltimore Ravens. They have to find a way to get after Tom Brady. If they knock Tom Brady down and make it uncomfortable for him, they'll stay in the game.
Okay, skip the next one because, as
it's
Lee says,
statement.
It's a statement.
Thanks, Lee! Nuno
we
Felipe
like you, but, you
says,
know.
Why is the line on the Patriots-Ravens game so high? I like the Patriots to win, but isn't 9.5 high?
Hence the reason that the line is 8.5 right now.
Yes.
And look for it to continue to fall, and I believe, prediction, it will be 7.5 by kickoff.
Yeah,
because people are going to start listening to me.
Yeah.
And that's going
to Well, also, I think
people.
A lot of people are just putting money on the. On the
Adam race. Redmington says, given that the read option is trending big right now, which team would be most likely or best suited to claim Tebow to implement their version of it?
Nobody. I'm not sure anybody wants to go and claim Tim Tebow from the Jets. But if I had to pick one team to run it, it would be a team that would have suitable running backs. And since the Jacksonville Jaguars general manager said he's not taking Tim Tebow.
And MJD's talking like he's going to stay, which is weird.
Right. I would have to look at maybe a team like the Arizona Cardinals.
Who they don't have a running game. We just said that they
well,
have
they
running
Well, they got Beanie Wells and Steven Hollins.
Injury Wells?
Well, that's true.
All right,
if
next.
He can stay healthy. Jeffrey Leo Roof says, after Steven's sick coming out on Kaepernick's performance, what's going to be his reaction if Cap plays horrible versus the Birds?
He's going to give me a dollar. David Stevenson wants to know, does the Falcons' home record actually matter?
No, not in the playoffs. That home record is during the regular season, and which they're fantastic, but in the playoffs recently they've not been so good, so it doesn't matter. Oh, yes. Nick Williams, Jeff, wants to know, I am off to meet Daryl Moose Johnston on Saturday. Do you have any good questions I could ask him?
No, but I think if you want to make yourself endearing to him, compliment him on his sport coat.
Yeah, and also ask, let him
oh,
know.
Oh, come on. That's a good line, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
he's a very well-dressed man.
Yes.
And if you just tell him he looks sharp, he'll be your best friend.
Ask him, you know, just ask him the obvious. How was it to block for one of the best running backs to ever play the game?
Vil Mulvaya says, what is the best potential story for the Super Bowl? Ray Lewis retiring in the Super Bowl, Harbaugh Bowl, Brady, Belichick winning a Super Bowl, untainted, or Kaepernick taking a... Belichick winning a Super Bowl untainted. Or Kaepernick taking a big hit versus the Falcons and Alex Smith coming in to save the day. Those are some hell of a storylines there, friends.
Yes.
Darn good storylines.
Which would be the best? I would love to see the Niners have to bring in Alex Smith back because Kaepernick goes down to injury, and then Alex Smith performs so great to save the day. That would freaking be Hollywood, and they would make a movie next year.
I'm totally on board. We're not sharing our opinions.
Daryl Davis says, what do the Steelers, and hell, the Cowboys too, need to overcome an even season to get back to championship weekend next year? Why are you talking about those two teams? I'm sorry. Go ahead. That's
he
his question.
He cares. Don't interrupt Daryl in his question. What do the Steelers and hell, the Cowboys need to do to come back to championship weekend next year?
Yes.
They need an extra year. So that's sorry, it's true. They're not that close.
All right.
Derek Handler wants to know, Chip Kelly, NFL success, or Bobby Petrino,
Make two.
Mark two.
Mark two.
Bobby Petrino, Mark II.
I don't know. Chip Kelly. You know what? I like the him.
Great
I like
question,
the coach,
Derek, by the way.
And that's a good one, Derek. No, he will not be as bad. I'm not sure if he'll be very, very successful, but he is certainly not going to be a Petrino.
Finally.
And finally, Jason Schmidt says, it seems like the team that has the better offensive line in each game tends to win. Which team's offensive lines do you like to outperform the other?
I think San Francisco's offensive line is the best in the series right
they're
now.
They're pretty good.
I'm stunned that I'm picking against them, but it's just, look, I did it in August.
Yeah.
San Francisco is the complete package, period.
Well,
that's it, folks.
I hope you lose both your games so that I can go 2-0 and you can go 0-1. And then the pressure will be on you, the Super Bowl, to pick against me. You have to pick against
me. Which means I'll probably pick against my pick.
Ooh,
which
that's
I've done,
not
and, I
good.
I've done and I won.
Colt Saints.
I've that, done and that I've won.
That wound up being a tie that year because you.
That's right.
Even though you didn't think the Saints were going to win, you wound up taking them.
Chance.
And there
and they
you
were
go.
My team that year. So, the challenge game is Steven, just to be clear.
The challenge game, I'm going to roll. I've got the New England Patriots at home while you've got the Baltimore Ravens.
Very safe play.
On the road.
Very safe play.
Go
and
the safe
I would take the safe play.
Yeah, yeah.
So thank you all for listening. We'll be back at you next week with our divisional recap.
Wait a minute. Can I rethink that for
preview.
A second?
Yes,
I really will
1001.
Be angry if somehow Baltimore wins and I had to cheer for the Patriots to come back at the end of the game. And
to me, the truly best Super Bowl is the 49ers Patriots, so we have the young versus the old.
Yeah.
And then I want to see the 49ers roll on top, and I want to see a brand new crop of teams showing up in the playoffs every year. I think that is the best thing for the NFL. Let's be done with the Mannings and the Bradys and things like that. Let's get the new blood in there.
New blood!
And I think that'd be fantastic.
That would be a good show for
new blood?
HBO. New blood.
We've got blue blood and true blood.
And it would be new, new blood. New blood. Let's get some new blood
All
in
right,
there.
Peace, people.
I'm Steven Miranda.
Jeff Ellis.
NFL Rants and Raves. We're out.
Talk to you next week.